Good morning, church. I think I put that thing on different every time. I'm going to start. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and Lord, I know the message you've given me. Lord, I just pray that use me as your vessel, use me as your mouthpiece, Lord, but shut my mind down, shut my thoughts down, and just let me be the vessel you want me to be, and let the congregation have ears to hear what you want them to hear today, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So it's good to be back. Chris and I had an opportunity. Dora, can you hear me? Yeah. Chris and I had the opportunity to purchase some Browns tickets from my cousin last week, and I'd never been to the Browns Stadium, and chances are pretty good I'll probably never go back. But a couple things from that trip. Number one, man, I'm glad Northmore is pretty good because the Browns are terrible. I mean, they are bad. They can't. They're just in a bad, sorry state right now. But number two, I was really, really concerned as we were leaving the stadium. Because I didn't realize, I mean, I'm little, probably secluded, probably naive, Matt. And there was a lot of people there. Number one, the immense amount of beer that they drank at $15 a beer blows my mind. But number two, they got involved in some extracurricular medicinal marijuana that was floating through the, and I kid you not, when I got back to the car, we walked about, I don't know, a mile back to the car where we parked, and we got on 71 South, and I was driving, and I was like, all I could smell was the marijuana. And then I said, I told Chris, I got to watch my speed because we can't get pulled over because when I roll my window down, that's all that's going to waft out of the car. That is the world we're living in today. And I smelled my brown sweatshirt that was been through the wash, and it's going to have to go through the wash again because it still smells like that. It's crazy. So that was the start of our week, and then, you know, we all know what happened on Tuesday. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me who you voted for. The title of the sermon today is America Has Chosen, We Must Be Bold. Okay? You know, and whether you like Donald Trump, whether you like Kamala Harris, it doesn't matter to me. I want what's best for the country. And I came out of that election on Tuesday night, and I'm not a real big political guy. There's certain things that just drive me nuts. First and foremost, the media just absolutely sets me crazy. And if you work for CNN or you work for Fox or you work for ABC or NBC or CBS, I'm sorry. I want the media to be consistent. I want the media to report the facts. Okay? And all we heard was, we've got the right wing is so concerned that if the left wing gets in, it's going to be bad for our daughters. It's going to be bad for our people. As Christians, the vote went the way it should have went. And if you need proof of that, this is the first time in quite some time that the president won the popular vote. The president-elect won the popular vote. He won the Electoral College vote. And his party won the House and the Senate. Now, My thing to Donald Trump is you better get some stuff done because you're not going to face a lot of opposition at this point. Unless it's from your own party. And if you face opposition from your own party, that's on you. But I think America voted. For once in my life, I didn't go into that with questions who I was voting for. You know, we normally don't talk about politics at home. We normally don't talk about voting. And Morgan's 21, and she started asking questions. And I was like, you know, so we all became more educated during that. And I think, again, that's a fact that we took the time to prepare ourselves for what God wanted to happen. Okay? Today we're going to talk about a guy. His name's Peter, and I've talked about him before. We're going to start in John chapter 1. And sorry, we're going to be probably a little over, but you're just going to have to deal with it today. Hope your lunch doesn't burn. But this is the next day, John, in verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When those two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" Verse 39, "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which translated is Peter. So that's our very first interaction with Peter and John. And I love the fact that Jesus walks up and says, "Hey man, you're Simon. I know who you are. I know who you are. Here's your name. You're going to be called Cephas," which is Peter, okay? So we're going to fast forward. That's the very first interaction Peter has. Let's go to John chapter 18. So here's Peter, and he really didn't ask for any of this. It was kind of a peer pressure thing. His brother brought Jesus to him. And do you ever wonder why that happened? You ever wonder why his brother brought him? Because he knew that Peter needed Jesus at that time. Okay? It was for no other reason than concern for his brother that he brought him to see Peter. In verse 18, chapter 18, we've been here before. We're going to be in 15. So this is after Peter has walked with Jesus. He's witnessed things. He saw things. He's heard people talk. He also knows the plan that Jesus has been cast upon Jesus. And Jesus has, you know, already said, "Hey, one of you is going to disown me 3 times. One of you is going to betray me." And he told him who it was. And he said, "One of you is going to disown me 3 times. And Peter, let's just read that here. Says, we'll go to 17. "You aren't one of the man's disciples too, are you?" she asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." Okay, then we'll go down. The high priest are talking to Jesus. I want to skip over that. Verse 25. "Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there warming himself because it was cold. So they asked him, aren't you one of the disciples too, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." Then one of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, a rooster began to crow. So remember, when we talk about when Jesus was arrested, it just says one of the takes a sword out, which I think I've preached on that whole time before. And my vision was that was Peter, right? Well, here we're told who it was. It was, in fact, Peter. And then why did it have to be Peter? Because for the whole plan to work, Peter had to be the one to be bold. Because we're going to find out later, Peter is the rock. Peter is where we build the church. We're going to go into Acts chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 14 through 41. And it's a lot. But this is after Jesus was crucified, after he rose again, after the disciples kind of scattered, because why? They were scared. They were scared. Okay? So this is kind of where we are in America. You know, I watched a couple videos, well, not a couple, probably 1,000 videos this week, and trying to get different things. Julie, I think right here is where I want to play that. This is a video I want to show you, because I watched this on Tuesday night, and actually it was Wednesday I watched it, and it hit home with me. There's no President Trump here. There's cameras, obviously, because we got it filmed, but let's just listen and watch here. Here's why I share that. That was at, is it Mar-a-Lago? Is that what it is? Mar-a-Lago. That was, Trump wasn't out there. Trump was still on stage, probably dealing with thousands of people. This was a group of obviously Christian people that saw the results of the election. This was after they had announced it. And this is where they went. They went to worship. They went to worship. And that really hit home with me, because I think God was at the center of this whole thing. But we're going to go to Acts 2. So Peter is here, and he's going to address the crowd. Remember, this is the guy that disowned Jesus 3 times. Verse 14, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughter will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show the wonders in the heavens above and signs on earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be blessed. Then Peter says in 22, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to the death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And it goes on there, but we're going to stop right there. Peter laid it out. Peter said, man, we're stupid. We are stupid. We had a guy, we had the guy, not a guy, we had the guy sent here, but because of the plan of his father, he had to go through death. He had to beat death for that plan to come to fruition. And it goes on, and it talks more about, in 29, fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on an oath he would place one of his descendants on the throne. So this is the fulfillment part right here where, you know, we trace Jesus back to David. And this is the fulfillment. This is where Peter is, and I don't know what the response was at this point. Obviously, a few days ago, they didn't like Jesus very much because they nailed him to the cross. But Peter went out and he said, hey, listen. Peter was bold. Peter was bold. And we're going to finish in Acts 10. Starting verse 23. And this is going to be the bulk of the passage, but I want to make sure that we understand how powerful Peter felt convicted to move on. So Peter was called to a place. He was called to a man named Cornelius's house. People come and got him. And it says the next day, in verse 23, the next day Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along with him. The following day he arrived at Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up and said, stand up, I am only a man. While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, you are well aware that it is our law, that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? Cornelius answered, 3 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 p.m. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the house of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we're all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Guys, we have what Peter has. We have what Peter was commanded to say. We have it. It's right here. It's right here. We've got to act on it. We've got to act on it. Because, yeah, while the election's great, and if anybody was out in the public this week, I went to work Wednesday, and I was at Kroger, and normally, man, they're a gloomy bunch of people at Kroger. I am, too, when I go, because I spend $200 just about every time I'm there, and it makes me crazy. And I look at my cart, and it's half full. But you know, people had a little different bounce to their step Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You know, they were still paying the same prices they were on Monday, but they had a different outlook on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. I don't know whether he's going to change a whole bunch of stuff. You know, my prayer is that gasoline gets down to $2 a gallon. Milk is $2 a gallon instead of $4. Eggs are $1.50 a dozen instead of $3.50. You know, the chickens aren't getting paid more. The value of an egg is still the value of an egg. There's hundreds of thousands of chickens laying eggs in the United States. We do not have a shortage. In fact, we throw more eggs away than most countries consume. Think about that. But we're paying $4 a dozen for eggs? I hate chickens. But I like eggs. But go back to my thing about the media. I just want them to be consistent because, you know, I listen to sports talk radio because that's what my guy Beckett and I watch on TV. But I thought, you know, I'm going to turn it over while I'm driving Wednesday, Thursday. I'm going to listen to a little political talk and just see what, because CNN was very anti-Republican. You know, Fox is pretty much anti-Democrat. It's crazy. But, you know, as I was driving, this was Friday, I was driving to Sycamore, and I got this alert on my phone. I was listening to CNN, and they said, "Good news, America. The shooter that shot President-elect Trump has now been captured." 2 days after the election, you mean we found this guy? Serious. Serious. And he has ties to Iran. Iran ordered the assassination of him because they know what's coming. They know what's coming. They didn't want any part in Trump being president. I'm not sure I want any part in Trump being president. Because I think he's a lot like me. He has a smart mouth, and he says what he wants to say. Sound familiar to anybody? This guy Peter said what he wanted to say, did what he did. He was very knee twitchy. In fact, I in my studies this week, I wasn't sure where I was going. That's why you don't have a title. But I got a thing that I read something, and it said the 12 apostles had different personalities, but they had one thing in common. They were all followers and disciples in Jesus. In their lives and ministries, we see them going through some of the same challenges and experiences we all go through. They are often confused and don't completely understand the teachings of Jesus. And at times, they are in competition with each other. They have personal prejudices and preferences on how to do ministry. Here's an interesting made-up assessment of the apostles by the Jordan management consultants in a letter written to Jesus. Fictionary letter, okay? Thank you for submitting the resumes of the 12 men you have picked for management positions on your new organization. All of them have taken our battery of tests, and we have not only run the results through our computer, but have also arranged personal interviews for each one of them with our psychologist and vocational aptitude consultant. It is the staff's opinion that most of your nominees are lacking in background, education, and vocational aptitude for the type of enterprises you are entertaining. So this is basically a rejection letter of the 12 disciples. And it starts with number one, Simon Peter. Now listen, this is Simon Peter, and I want you to tell me what you think. Simon Peter is emotionally unstable and given to fits of temper. Andrew does not have the qualities of leadership. The two brothers, James and John, sons of Zebedee, place personal interest above company loyalty. We're not going to go through the rest. But it gives the whole thing. But I do want to keep going because it talks about Peter some more. One of the candidates, however, shows great potential. He is a man of ability and resourcefulness, meets people well, has a keen business mind, and has contacts in high places. He is highly motivated, ambitious, and responsible. We recommend Judas Iscariot as your controller and right-hand man. All the other profiles are self-explanatory. We wish you success in this new venture. So today we're looking at the life and ministry of Simon Peter, a man of bold and courageous faith. What descriptive words come to mind when you think of Simon Peter? Hot-headed, overreacts, man of action, tough, body of a fisherman, impulsive, he acts and he thinks. He fires and then takes aim. He jumps in an ocean and then remembers that he forgot his life jacket and surfboard. He is courageous and brave. He would rather fight than switch. When Jesus saw Simon, the first thing Jesus did was give Simon a new name. Jesus said, "You are the son of John, you'll be called Cephas," which translated Peter, translated again, means rock. Simon Peter becomes one of the closest friends to Jesus. Jesus led the 12 apostles, but had a small executive team of three, Peter, James, and John. Peter became the team leader of the 12 followers of Jesus and was often their public spokesman. Peter was a proud man. He at first refused to allow Jesus to wash his feet, but later was willing for Jesus not only to wash his feet, but allow Jesus to splash his whole body with water. Another time, Peter tried to interfere with God's mission for Jesus, and Jesus had to command Peter to step aside. Another time, Peter was willing to take on an army to protect Jesus. He tried to lop the head off of a Roman leader, but missed and only got an ear. Peter vowed that he would follow Jesus till death do them part. Moments later, he denied Jesus three times. When the news came that the tomb where they buried Jesus was empty, Peter raced to the tomb with John. John, being the younger, outran Peter and arrived first at the entrance. But Peter fearlessly rushed into the temple and searched it. Guys, we need to be like Peter. Are we hotheads? Yes, I am. I don't know about the rest of you. Are we hotheads? Yes. Are we sarcastic? Me. Are we quick to talk? Probably. Are we quick to jump? Probably. We need to be quick to go out there and fight the battle that's ahead of us. Because Satan's still alive. Satan's still alive. He's still out there. He's still going to attack. He'll attack me first thing tomorrow morning. He'll probably attack me today. Because Skylar and I are going to work on a car. That'll get interesting. Morgan called at 5:30 this morning and said, I got a bunch of lights that came on my car. She's on her way to work. This is my day that I can sleep a little bit. So I was probably sarcastic. I was probably rude. I was probably angry. In fact, my wife told me I was all three of those. But I got my sweatpants on and I drove to BP in Mount Gilead. Well, here's why I got angry. Morgan said, well, I'm parked at the pump. You need to hurry up. I said, why'd you park at the pump? Well, then I get there and see that it's under construction. There are no parking spots, so she's parked at the pump. Pretty good logic. Anyway, Skylar and I are going to work on a car this afternoon. Pray for us, because while it might be Skylar's thing, it's not my thing. But we'll figure it out, hopefully. But we need to be more like Peter. We need to be bold. You know, as Christians, we prayed for this to happen. We prayed for the election to go the way God wanted it to go. And I contend this is the way God wanted it to go. Now we have to put our money where our mouth is and go out there. We got to be like, I mean, I already said it earlier. Trump, you better get something done. Because everything's in your favor. Christians, we better get something done. Because we're never going to have a better chance than we have currently. So we got to be bold. And we got to take America back for the church. What that looks like for each one of you, I don't know. But let's not let this feeling of Tuesday or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Because was anybody else nervous Tuesday? Skylar was. I'll tell you why I was nervous. Because when they started showing all these maps of the United States and I see all this red, and then they say, well, Trump still has a lot of work to do. I'm like, 78% of the country is red. I don't know if the electoral colleges are the right thing to do, but it works. So I'm not going to change it. I'm not a politician. But I was still thinking in my mind, God, you're still in control. Whichever way you want this to go, it's going to go that way. So that put my nerves at ease. I went to sleep not knowing who won. I went to sleep hoping who won, but I didn't know. And I sincerely think that because of the preparation of the church, the preparation of the people to be prepared and to go out and be bold, you know, the country definitely is in unity over who won the election. In fact, even Joe, you know, Mr. Biden, you know, he probably gave the best speech he's given in 4 years Thursday. I mean, he was awake. And he said, you know, he said, I've called Donnie. He calls him. I called Donnie. And he said, there's not going to be a hostile takeover. We're going to help his team however we need to be. We will do whatever we need to do to make this a smooth transition for the American people. So, guys, I think we're heading in the right direction. I think our country is going to turn about. But we have to be at the center of that. We have to be at the center. Yeah, do we have a voice that can change a bunch of stuff? Maybe. But we have the voice that can change everything. So be bold. You know, be bold. Be not afraid to go out there and tell people about your faith. To tell people about the God and Savior that you serve. Because people need to hear it. People need to hear it. And you know, I'd love to take a stand against media, because I just think they tell us what we want to hear sometimes, and they so twist it to whoever's in charge, and it just drives me nuts. Report the facts. That's your job. Our job is to report the facts. You know, when I go tell somebody about my God and my Savior, they don't want my opinion. I mean, they do. But my opinion is not what matters. When I lay out for them their story of salvation, that's what matters. We got to be bold, people. And that's my challenge to you this week, is to be bold. Be bold in everything you do. Be bold in your homes. Be bold in your marriages. Be bold in your finances. Be bold in your voice. Because I think the country is more in unity now than we possibly have ever been. And I think we're ready for Christianity to take their place and start really serving the Savior we love. I'm going to close this in prayer, and then Les and I will be here. We're going to have a closing song. And if you don't know who that Savior is, if you don't know why so many people were at ease Tuesday, why so many people are at ease now, if you want to know who we serve, today's the day. Today's the day. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Come start your relationship today. Lord, we just come before you, and Lord, we thank you that you are in control. Lord, we know that you have spoken, you have guided us to where we are now, Lord. Lord, I hope that we get you back at the center of our country and not as an outsider or not as the top of the pitcher, as Doug's thing recommended. We don't want you to blow away, Lord. We want to be rooted in you and covered and just be able to express you in everything that we do, Lord. We love you, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen.